And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, welcome. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. I'm Chris Pinto. Today's show we could call The False Peace of Antichrist. The False Peace of Antichrist. And why? Well, we begin with this scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 3. The Apostle Paul says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When they shall say peace and safety. Now we've got a whole section in one of our films, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, where we talk about how this happened during World War II, where there's a whole pattern of it that seems to be happening over and over again throughout the 20th century, but probably the most dynamic, in my opinion, was when Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England, went to meet with Adolf Hitler, and they signed the Munich Agreement. That was a peace agreement that supposedly was going to secure the peace of Europe. And then Neville Chamberlain comes back to England and he says, you know, he holds up the document famously and he says, "This is, you know, I have in my hand the agreement signed by Herr Hitler." And he says, "I believe this is peace for our time." And then he says, "Go home and get a nice quiet sleep." And yes, that's what he said. "I believe this is peace for our time. Go home and get a nice, quiet sleep." And then the British, they were so elated, they're cheering and so on, and they posted signs in their store windows saying, "Don't mind Hitler, take your holiday. Don't mind Hitler, take your holiday. And I believe it's peace for our time." And on and on and on, famously. So that declaration of peace is made, and then, of course, a short time later, Hitler invades Czechoslovakia, violates the agreement, and World War II was underway. And it became, you know, one of the great, you know, if not the greatest political blunder of the 20th century, creating a false peace with Hitler. And what's the lesson? Well, the lesson is you cannot make peace with the devil. You cannot make peace with the devil. You might make peace with him, but friend, the devil is not going to make peace with you. As soon as your back is turned, the devil is going to put a knife in it. The devil is not going to make peace with anybody. The Bible says, Jesus warned, "The thief comes not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. When he speaks the lie. He was a murderer from the beginning," Jesus says, "and he abode not in the truth." He was a murderer from the beginning. And so it is. The devil hunts the souls of men to destroy them. And that's his purpose. So you can go make peace with all of these demonic gods and goddesses out there that are part of Satan's kingdom, but he's not making peace with you. He's just deceiving you long enough to destroy you for all eternity. That's his aim. And so as Christians, we need to be aware. We need to be on the alert. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. And when you join hands with apostates and unbelievers and those who are bowing down to other gods, you are giving a place to the devil. You're giving a place to the devil, just like sin. If we allow sin to come into our lives, and we don't push it out, and we don't continue to be diligent to resist sin, then we're giving a place to the devil. God forbid. God forbid. But while there are certain sins that all Christians would agree to, unfortunately, in our time, it's the case that many professing believers refuse to acknowledge that ecumenism is a sin against God. And what it represents is a false peace. A false peace. And this is warned about throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, we find in Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, God's talking about the condition of the people. And he says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness." Now the Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament that covetousness is as idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Why? Well, if you study the gods of the ancient world, they're gods that get you what you want. Okay? That's why you had the god of wine. You have mammon. Mammon, when Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon, mammon was the name of the god of greed and avarice, the god of money. Okay? You had the god of war. You have the goddess of love, and on, all these different gods that get you different things. What do you want? You're going to war. You want victory. Go pray to the god of war. You know, you want your vineyard to bring forth grapes so you can get wealthy selling wine. Well, go make an offering to the god of wine. You want somebody to fall in love with you. Go give an offering to the goddess of love, and on and on and on. You go and you appeal to these different gods because they're going to get you what you want. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, and that we should be content with the things that we have and not always be, you know, coveting after something. The Bible warns, "He that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver." And anybody who gets into that game of, well, you want this, and then you want that, and then you want more and more and more. Every time you get what you want, it's never enough. You've always got to keep reaching for something else. And you're never satisfied completely. And the Bible warns us that we need to resist that, not pursue covetousness, but rather godliness with contentment. Praise the Lord. Okay. "The least of them unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Saying peace when there is no peace. Okay? Trying to say, oh, well, let's just be at peace. When in fact, that's just not the case. You can, in certain situations, you cannot be at peace. If somebody's bowing down to an idol, you can't be at peace with that person. Not really. You might dwell peaceably with them in terms of you're not going to try and kill them or hurt them in any way or whatnot, but you can't join hands with them and say, well, you know, you're my brother and we worship the same God, even though your God is an idol. That's a false peace. It's a false peace. In fact, the worship of idols, whenever God's people turn aside to worship idols, God calls it harlotry, whoredom. When he's confronting his people in the Old Testament for worshiping Baal and Molech and so on, God says, "On every high hill and under every tree, thou hast played the harlot. Thou hast gone a whoring after the other gods." That's why God says, "I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me." God is like the husband. His people are the bride. And even as a bride might go whoring after other lovers, so it is with those who turn aside and join themselves to other gods. And we see another picture of this in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. This is when Jehu was anointed by God to cut off the house of wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And it says, we read, "And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" What peace? "So long as the whoredoms of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." In other words, there's not going to be any peace, friend. And so then Jehu then kills Joram, and then he goes and he cuts off the house of Ahab, and he ends up having Jezebel thrown out of a window, and their bodies devoured by dogs, because God does not make peace with the devil. And somebody who is engaged in spiritual whoredom and what amounts to sorcery and witchcraft, which is what they're doing in these other religions, it's what they're doing in the Catholic Mass. If you study the Catholic Mass, it's a form of sorcery. The term hocus pocus is actually derived from the words, I think it's hocus corpus, that the Catholic priest pronounces over the wafer. The Catholic wafer, and supposedly it magically or mystically, the Catholic wafer becomes the literal presence of Jesus Christ. And so that phrase turned into, Protestants and evangelicals in decades past, when they knew about these things, they would say, "Oh, that's just a lot of hocus pocus." And the phrase was actually taken from really mocking the Catholic Mass. But of course, Protestants today don't understand that. So just as Jehu did not make peace with Jezebel, so no Christian, no real Christian, no discerning Christian can make peace with Rome. And this is why one of the mottos of Charles Spurgeon and others was "No peace with Rome." No peace with Rome. Peace with Rome is literally peace with the spirit of Antichrist. That's the peace of the ecumenical movement. It's making peace with Antichrist, because the ecumenical religion is the religion of Antichrist. That's where it's all headed. And we're warned about this in the Holy Scripture. All right, so now here's the next scripture about the false peace. And I think this is very significant. God's talking in Ezekiel chapter 13. And he says, "And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel." And the commentaries I've seen on that, when it says the writing of the house of Israel, that's a reference to the book of life. Okay, the reference to the Israel of God. Christ is the Israel of God, and those who are members of the body of Christ, whether they are Jew or Gentile, they are the Israel of God, the flesh and bones of Christ. "Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, because they have seduced my people, saying, 'Peace,' and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall." All right, now untempered mortar is a reference to whitewash. Whitewash. You're just, whitewashing the truth. This is the picture. One built up a wall of lies and falsehood, and others daubed it, they whitewashed it. "Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. So I will break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and shall bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar." In other words, people who are whitewashing the truth and preaching lies to the people of God. God is going to accomplish his wrath on those people. That's the warning of the Lord. That's the warning of God. Okay, we're coming up on a break. We're going to go to the break and then we'll come back. I'm Chris Pinto. You're listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.
Ever wonder how true your school history books really were? Adullam Films is proud to present The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, a documentary that confronts the little-known beliefs of America's most important historical figures. What did they believe about the man Jesus Christ? Were they fighting for Christianity or against it? Conservative Christian leaders often claim that the revolutionaries were godly men who were trying to build a Christian nation. But was their faith the true faith of the Bible? Or is it possible that the exact opposite is true? Learn about the true thoughts and feelings of men such as Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and many more. Written and directed by Christian J. Pinto, The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers is now available on noiseofthunder.com. That's noiseofthunder.com. Learn what your history books wouldn't tell you with The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to visit our website, worldviewweekend.com. If you're interested in cutting-edge radio programs that reveal what's happening in America and around the world through the lens of a biblical worldview, we invite you to visit our website, worldviewweekend.com. You can hear my daily radio program, Worldview Weekend Radio, there, as well as the new radio show of Chris Pinto and the radio show of Jan Markell and many others. We also have columns. Every day we post brand new columns about what's happening in America and around the world from some of the leading columnists in the Worldview Christian community. Again, all the information can be found at worldviewweekend.com, from daily news, columns, radio shows, and television commentaries, all available for free at worldviewweekend.com. You'll also find out about our free biblical worldview weekend conferences that we hold all across the country. Worldviewweekend.com. Tell your friends, won't you? And begin to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview as we defend biblical theology and doctrine.
Explore the highly controversial subject of the design of America's capital in part two of Adullam Films' secret mystery series, Riddles in Stone. Was the city built to reflect the majesty of America's newfound freedom, or the hidden agenda of secret societies? Embark upon this incredible journey as Riddles in Stone interviews experts on both sides of the heated debate. Watch as Freemason apologists defend some of the most direct and hard-hitting questions concerning the influences of Masonry in America and its symbolism in Washington, D.C. Alongside them are leading researchers who maintain that occult architecture permeates the city and conceals a secret agenda. If America was a Christian nation, where are the images of Jesus Christ? Or is it possible that Washington, D.C. symbolizes another Christ, the Masonic Christ? Find out in this bold, controversial documentary from writer and director Christian J. Pinto. Available now at noiseofthunder.com. That's noiseofthunder.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm Chris Pinto. You're listening to Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Praise the Lord. We are talking about, and really what I want to do is, even though I read a number of scriptures there that warn about this false peace and this whole idea of saying peace when there is no peace. And this is one of the earmarks of the day of the Lord. While they're saying peace and safety, the Apostle Paul says. And that's the whole cry that the World Council of Churches, the United Nations, the European Union, the ecumenical movements, they're all saying the same thing. Albeit in different ways, they're all saying, for the cause of world peace, we need to just end whatever differences lie between us theologically and politically and every other way. Now, some of the issues, some of the extraneous issues, as Christians, we might agree with. We would certainly agree. The Bible says, inasmuch as is possible, we should seek to dwell peaceably on the earth during our time here. You know, that we should pray for kings and rulers and those that are in power so that we can dwell peaceably, that this is right and pleasing to God, that we dwell peaceably. I mean, you know, we're not sent here to go stir up trouble in an ungodly way, but to take a stand for the truth of God, the righteousness of God. And I mean, because we are in the midst of the devil's world, any real Christian knows if you just take a stand for the truth of God and the righteousness of God, to a certain extent, trouble is going to find you. You don't have to go stirring up trouble. Just stand in the truth. And what will happen is trouble is going to find you. The Bible says, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I believe the first persecution is spiritual. That's it. That's the real persecution. And things that manifest themselves in the world are the result of what's happening spiritually. That's why Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, for that cause, we put on the whole armor of God, take up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the contrast is Jesus tells us, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. The Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ is not world peace. Why, Jesus said, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. Remember that it hated me before it hated you. The world really does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it seems that way. You have all these different people and say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I love Jesus. I like Jesus. I think Jesus is great. I don't have any problem with Jesus. It's his followers that I'm not that crazy about. I mean, how many times have you heard that? If you're a Christian, you hear it a lot. And of course, you know, they always say that. They always try to soft shoe it and say, no, it's not Jesus, really. It's his followers that I have a problem with. And on some issues, I think we would all agree. I mean, I'm not in any way going to try and promote the idea that Christians are perfect. We all know we're not perfect. Christians are not perfect, but they are forgiven by the grace of God. And of course, there are many who are false teachers, who have been false witnesses, and who have corrupted the Word of God and corrupted the faith. And the Bible warns that such men would come in, and that because of such wicked and pernicious men who bring in damnable heresies and those that follow them, that the way of truth would be evil spoken of. In other words, people are going to speak evil about the way of truth, about the gospel, about Christianity, because of the deeds of evil men who have misrepresented the faith. So the fact that that has happened is just further confirmation that the Word of God is true, that these warnings that we were given 2,000 years ago have indeed come to pass according to the word of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I've often said, you know, false teachers are evidence that God's word is true. If we were looking around us, brethren, and we were like, you know, there just aren't any false teachers out there. All that we know who are Christians are all sincere brothers and sisters in the Lord, and everybody just loves Jesus and they do what's right. Isn't it incredible? You know what we'd say? We'd say, well, what about all those warnings of false teachers and wolves in sheep's clothing and those who make merchandise of the sheep and so on? Well, we'd have cause to doubt the Word of God. But praise the Lord, as ironic as it is, because of those false teachers, we don't have to doubt God's Word. We know that God's Word is true. And the false teachers and the wolves and those who make merchandise of the flock, they are confirmation to us that the words of God are true. Part of the warnings that we have now, and we have this from both the Old Testament and the New, we have Paul warning in the end of Romans that false teachers, that their tactic is that by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the innocent. And notice what he's saying. By good words and fair speeches. That's their tactic. Now, I'm not going to say that's the only tactic, but I've always found it very compelling that that's the example that Paul uses when he's writing to the church in Rome, that it's by good words and fair speeches that they deceive people. And of course, you think about, you know, a guy like Robert Schiller, where his whole ministry is based on the whole idea of positiveness. And he's just going to be positive with everything. It's after a while, you listen to the guy, and it's creepy, all of his positive spin doctoring of everything. And it's unbiblical as well. That's not the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's not the preaching of the apostles. The Bible gives us a sober-minded and balanced view and compels us to consider both the goodness and the severity of God. You don't have one without the other. In the days of Jeremiah, I think we had an example of this. The prophet Jeremiah was sent by God to warn the children of Israel because they were sinning against the Lord. They're worshiping idols. They were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, which is that title, Queen of Heaven, which is given today to the Roman Catholic Mary, was the same title given to a mother goddess of the ancient world. And many of us, of course, believe that's where Rome takes the title from this ancient mother goddess worship. So they're worshiping the Queen of Heaven and sinning against God. And Jeremiah warns them that they're going to go into captivity to the king of Babylon. And so God sends Jeremiah in there wearing a yoke, a wooden yoke around his neck. And he says, you know, thus shall the children of Israel be led forth by the king of Babylon, and so on. And then the false prophet Hananiah comes out and he opposes Jeremiah. And he says, oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, don't worry about that. No, God's going to deliver the children of Israel. And then he takes the yoke off Jeremiah and he breaks it in half. And he says, thus shall the Lord break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And so on. And then God sends word to Hananiah through Jeremiah. He says, you've just turned their wooden yokes into yokes of iron. And he says, you have taught rebellion to the children of Israel. Notice, interesting. You have taught rebellion, God says, to Hananiah. Why? Because he preached a false peace and false deliverance, that God had judgment coming upon Israel because of their idolatry and their sin. And Hananiah was giving them the promise of deliverance and peace and salvation, really, from God, that they were going to be saved from the danger of the king of Babylon, when in fact that was not the case. So those who are preaching a false peace, one that is contrary to the will of God, contrary to God's promises, even though it might sound good, according to the biblical standard, what they are preaching really is rebellion against God. Rebellion against his warnings. And it's God's charge to the watchman, as he says in Ezekiel chapter 3, and then again in Ezekiel chapter 33. In fact, if you believe that God has called you to be a watchman for the Lord, you should know those chapters. You should know Ezekiel chapter 3, read the whole chapter. I would say read Ezekiel chapter 22 as well, and read Ezekiel chapter 33. Read all those chapters, at least those. And if you can, read the whole book of Ezekiel. But what does God say to Ezekiel? He says, if I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn him, he will die in his sin, but his blood shall I require at thy hand. And the apostle Paul understood this. It's why he says, when he's talking to the Ephesian elders, he says, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I didn't hold back the truth. When Paul is witnessing to the Jews, and he's He's preaching the gospel, and they reject it. He doesn't sit around and make excuses. He doesn't go, well, you know, I know you were expecting a different Messiah, and you're just not, you know, you just can't see that it's Jesus. But no, that's not what he does. He tears his garment, and he says, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. He tears his garment, which was symbolic in Jewish culture, that somebody's going to die. And so he's acknowledging that if they reject Christ, they will perish. As Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's the word of the Lord. And so these men who are smiling and glad-handing and grandstanding and putting their arms around apostates and unbelievers and idolaters and giving them false assurance. God's word says, you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not turn from his wicked way, by promising him life. Promising him life. Telling him, oh, you're going to be saved. You're going to have life eternal. And giving him that false assurance. You've strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he will not repent, so that he won't turn from his wicked way. That's ecumenism. That's what it does. That is the false peace of Antichrist. And it's condemned by the Word of God. It's condemned by the Word of God. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's the end of another show today. Praise God. Thank you for listening. We're very thankful for all of your comments and all of your support. We praise the Lord, and we pray that God will bless you, bless all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. I'm Chris Pinto. You've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.
Brought to you by Aperio Media.